Blog Talk Radio.
God, everyone, I pray that you had a wonderful weekend, and I just want to say welcome. No, before I say welcome to you, I just want to give bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet Ozzy Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And if you want to join us, please feel free to call 319-527-6204. We are here every day to pray for you and with you. Amen? So let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me as I bring forth your message this day. Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. Oh, Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem,
the problem may be,
he's in control,
he's in control, and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him and I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
he's in control,
he's in control, and he knows everything.
How do you know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live,
I
move, and have my
say
king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come
peace.
On, lift him up in here.
For
let
him rejoice and shout unto
why?
Him.
Why? When you come to
control. He's in control and he
knows everything.
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again.
No matter what,
no matter
what, the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this
and sing
it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
If you believe that, sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up.
Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. So if you have a prayer request, you can call in 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Jesus at the center of it all.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Be the center and say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
You're listening to
everybody. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and at this time, you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. And it is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading. Amen. Praise be to God. And the title of this message is Fueled by Fire. Fueled by Fire. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 13 through 18, and then we're going to drop down to 25 through 27. Amen. That's Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and verses 25 through 27, where it says, Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instrument. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Amen. Now let's go down to verses 25 through 27. And it says, Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They did not even smell of smoke. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. And it says, If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. Praise be to God. Again, the title of this message is Fueled by Fire. The writer says, when two firefighters, weary and soothy, stopped at a restaurant for breakfast. The waitress recognized the men from the news, and she realized they had spent the night battling a warehouse fire. To show her appreciation, she wrote a note on their bill. "Your breakfast is on me today. Thank you for serving others and for running into the places everyone else runs away from." Fueled by the fire and driven by courage, what an example you are. In the Old Testament, we see an example of courage in the actions of three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. Instead of obeying the mandated to bow down to a statue of the Babylonian king, these young men courageously showed their love for God through their refusal. Their penalty was to be thrown into a blazing furnace. The men did not back down. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold. God did rescue them and even walked with them in the fire. In our fiery trials and troubles today, we too have the assurance that God is with us. He is able. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Question. When have you felt God's presence during a difficult trial? What gives you confidence to press on when challenges come? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for being with us in the fire and for the comforting with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. Won't he do it? Won't he do it for you? Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine will come with our Bible study and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us and participate in our lessons, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play a selection entitled, "My God is Able." Hallelujah, Jesus.
And he's able.
Yes, he is.
The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He's able. Hallelujah. Come to let you know that my God is able to set you free. Yes, my God, He is able. Yes. Oh, I come to let you know, oh, that my God is able. Yes, He is able to heal you now. Yes, yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of our power, He is able, yes, He is, yes, He is, able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. My God is able. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God is able. Yeah, 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 yeah. I came to let you know. He is able, whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes, my God is able. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger.
at your neighbor, tell him, he's able.
Able.
Don't say he's able. What you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose, and is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord, call on his name, cause he's able, cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you. Able to set you free. Able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you. Able to rescue you. Able to hold you up. Able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I come to let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he's worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there's none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays, because our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And all you have to do is to call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory, because all of our help comes from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
Sail not mighty by day. what I told him. This is what I'm going to do.
God, again, welcome to our Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. We have 2 minutes and 34 seconds, and I would like to read a scripture coming from Luke 9, 23 through 24 in the New King James Version, where it says, "He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. We have to remember where our priorities lie. So if we make God's priorities our priorities, amen, he will draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, let your priorities be our priorities. And let your will be our will. And let your word be our guide. And let us grow in faith and wisdom this day and every day. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. And it's as simple as that. You call in your prayer request. We know that there are someone out there that has something that they want to ask God, or someone that they want to lift up in prayer. All you have to do is call 319-527-6204. We are here every Tuesday.
I'm in my class.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We are here every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our Bible class. which is Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And
I'm here.
I know. but our other panels, other people are not here. But anyway, we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening?
God bless you. I'm good. I'm a little bit sleepy, but other than that, I'm so blessed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I bless you. Howdy, Satan. How are you all doing?
Blessed. Thank
good.
You.
Very good.
Amen. I just Amen. Got in here. I breathe hard. You'll understand.
Just in time. Praise God.
Amen. And we're just starting. Back to you, First Lady.
Okay, thank you. So let's pray in. Okay, yeah. Oh, dear God, we love you, Father. We praise your holy name, Lord God, and we will never fail to give you the honor and give you the glory, Lord God, because you are worthy, Lord God. You are magnificent. You are awesome. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are holy, Lord God. And we love you and we thank you, Lord God, for first loving us and sending us your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Lord God, we just ask you and for his giving us the opportunity, Lord, to have forever, eternal life with him, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord God, to be in the midst of this Bible study, Lord God, that everything that I may say and do, Lord God, be pleasing to you, Lord God. And not only that, Lord God, that it may be clear, Lord God, that I can make it clear to those who are listening, Lord God, please open up their hearts. Please open up their minds, Lord God, that they may receive what it is, Lord God, that you will have me to reveal, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I just thank you, Lord God, for Hilda, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, for Sister Barbara, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for all those who are finding robbery, God, to come on this line, Lord God, to learn more about you. So we just want to thank you.
Thank
praise
you.
You, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So we're going to go into Joel because we're not finished with Joel. But before we go into Joel, there was some thing that we talked about last week that made me very, very curious about the Jews that were left after the captivity. So I went ahead on and I did a little bit of research in it. So let's just sort of like go through it because I found out some stuff that I didn't know. I don't know, you guys may have known, but it was just so interesting to me. And I pulled out some scriptures for us to read about it. And also, it's just like, it really clarified for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see as we go through it. I will see if it clarifies it for you, but it definitely clarified it for me. So I'm praying that we all come have the same revelation about this.
Amen.
So the first thing I would like you guys to be, because we had touched on a little bit of the remnants, and Sister Barbara and I, you know, discussed those who were, you know, left in Israel versus those who continue to worship and who continue to be obedient to God. You know, those are the two types of remnants that we had talked about. So if we'll start off with 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. And Sister Hilda, can you get that? 2 Kings 17, verses 18 through 20.
Okay, 2 Kings 17 and verses 18. Okay, verse 18 through 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading from the New Living, and it says,
okay,
because the Lord was very angry with Israel, he swept them away from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah remained in the land. But even the people of Judah refused to obey the commands of the Lord their God, for they followed the evil practice that Israel had introduced. Verse 20, the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel. He punished them by handling them over to their attackers until he had banished Israel from his presence. Wow.
Okay. Now, I want, now we're going to go down to Sister Barbara in the same chapter, verses 23 through 29.
Okay, I have the message, and it starts from 21 through 29.
Okay.
Back at the time that God ripped Israel out of their place in the family of David, they had made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, or Nabat, king. Jeroboam debauched Israel, turned them away from serving God, and led them into a life of total sin. The children of Israel went along with all the sins that Jeroboam did, never murmured so much as a word of protest. In the end, God spoke a final no to Israel and turned his back on them. He had given them fair warning and plenty of time through the preaching of all his servants, the prophets. Then he exiled Israel from her land to Assyria, and that's where they are now. 24, the king of Assyria brought in people from Babylon, Kothah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and relocated them in the town of Samaria, replacing the exiled Israelites. They moved in as if they owned the place and made themselves at home. When the Assyrians first moved in, God was just another god to them, little g. They neither honored nor worshipped him. Then God, the big God, sent lions among them, and people were mauled and killed.
I'm sorry, Sister Barbara. Let's go back to, I'm sorry, can you read 24 again?
24, yes. Mm-hmm. The king of Assyria brought in people from Babylon, Kuthah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and relocated them in the towns of Samaria, replacing the exiled Israelites. They moved in and
right.
did their
so,
own
so,
place and made themselves mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm.
So I read this, and so tell me what is this saying?
So in Judah, the Judeans were just as bad as the Israelites. So God allowed them to be invaded by the people of Babylon. And when they came in and just took it over. They relocated all the towns of Samaria because we understand, I understand, there were like four towns that incorporated Israel, Samaria, I think Moab, Ramoth-Gilead, and Judah, if I'm not mistaken, replacing the exiled Israelites. So they moved in and basically just made themselves at home and pushed the other ones out.
Right. So the king of Assyria, you know, and they were saying that was one of his tactics for being in power, is that he took the Israelites out of Israel, right, moved them into Assyria, and took the people of Assyria and all of those lands around Assyria and moved them into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the Israelis, because that was his way of making people uncomfortable, mm-hmm. making exiles out of the people of in Babylon and Assyria, that whole making them exiles by taking them out of their country,
right,
and
right.
replacing them with, you know, taking the Israelites out, moving them over. And then the people that was there, taking them out and moving them into Israel. Okay.
Right.
So, and moving those people into Samaria. And so continue. Yes, just continue.
So
I just
want to
make sure that we're seeing this transition.
When the Assyrians first moved in, God was just another God to them with a little g. They neither honored nor worshipped him. Mm-hmm. Then God, the big God, sent lions among them, and people were mauled and killed. This message was then sent back to the king of Assyria. The people you brought in to occupy the towns of Samaria don't know what's expected of them from the God of the land. And now he sent lions, and they're killing people right and left because nobody knows what the God of the land expects of them. The king of Assyria ordered, send back some priests who were taken into exile from there. They can go back and live there and instruct the people in what the God of the land expects of them. One of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria came back and moved into Bethel. He taught them how to honor and worship God. But each people that Assyria had settled went ahead anyway, making its own gods, little g, and setting them up in the neighborhood sects and religion shrines that the citizens of Samaria had left behind, a local custom made god for each people. For Babylon, and it goes on to list that goes into 30 and 31.
Right, and just read 32 and 41. I don't know why I got that backwards. 32
and 41?
Yes, 32.
32 say, they honored and worship God, but not exclusively. This is God, the one and only true and living God. They also appointed all sorts of priests, regardless of qualification, to conduct a variety of rites at the local fertility shrines. They honored and worshiped the true and living God. But they also kept up their devotions to the old gods with little g of the places they had come from. And 41 or 42, you said?
Mm-hmm.
41. Oh, there's no 42. There's 40. And it
yeah,
starts
41,
from 40.
I said.
It starts from 40 and it goes 40 to 41.
Okay.
But they didn't pay any attention. They kept doing what they'd always done. As it turned out, all the time, these people were putting up a front of worshiping God. They were at the same time involved with their local idols, and they're still doing it, like father, like son. Amen.
Right. So, Hilda, what does all of that say to you? What was just read.
Well, it was saying that God punished the Israelites because they didn't want to follow his commandments. So he took them out of Israel, brought in foreigners, and they all like kind of like migrated together, and you know, they weren't no longer Israelites. They were, well, between the Israelites and the foreigners, they became the Samaritans, and the Jewish people, they hated the Samaritans.
Well, no, they didn't become
the Samaritans.
But they didn't, it wasn't, it was, okay. So, right. So, remember, the Jews out, these people from Babylon are in, move in to Samaria, right?
Right.
They move into Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
But they take over, because they live there now. This is their, this is where they live. You know, the Israelites are gone in Babylon, they're in captivity. So now these people, surrounding foreigners, move into the land, right? And they live there. And they came with all of their worshipers, right, worshiping their idols and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's still the land of big God, right?
Right.
Right.
So God sent lions into the land to kill them. So then they beg. They go and they beg the Assyrian king. They're like, wait, we in this land, we don't know what's going on. But this, whoever this God is of this land is sending these lions in here to kill us. So please show us. Show us how to worship this God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Syrian sends a Jewish priest there to teach them. So you can see how, I mean, for me, this revelation that I saw from this is exactly how, when you think about the Samaritans now in Jesus' time, right? We hear more about the Samaritans in Jesus' time. And
mm-hmm.
you kind of get to understand that they're these people, you know, who knew about, they still, because, you know, the Samaritans, it was like we always knew, they followed some of the Jewish laws, right? But
right.
It was like they intertwined it with their, they intertwined it with their pagan religion, right? And this is why in Jesus' time, you know, this is why the Jews were like, you know, that these people, that they look down on these people, these Samaritan people. And then as we continue on, we're going to see, you know, these are the people that now when the Babylonians are exiled, when they finally leave Babylon, this is who they're meeting when they get there. So
these people were not good people that were left in Judah and Israel because they started
right.
worshiping pagan gods. And I did the research too, but I want to read
mm-hmm.
Something from 2 Kings starting at 34. After I had said that they honored and worshiped God, the big God, but they
mm-hmm.
kept up their devotions to the old gods of the places they had come from, talking about the
mm-hmm.
Babylonians and the Assyrians. And they're still
right.
doing it, still worshiping any old god that has nostalgic appeal to them. They don't really worship God. They don't take seriously what he says regarding them. They don't really worship
mm-hmm.
God, okay? They don't take seriously really what's regarding them. Regarding them, they don't really want them regarding them. How can I keep missing this spot? One second. They don't take seriously what he says regarding how to behave and what to believe, what he revealed to the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. God made a covenant
mm-hmm.
with his people and ordered them, don't honor other gods. Don't worship them. Don't serve them. Don't offer sacrifices to them. And we saw previously that Adrammelech and Anamelech in 31, I guess, were people who burned
yeah.
their children and sacrificial offerings to these gods. All right? So continuing on, don't honor other gods. Don't worship them. Don't serve them. Don't offer sacrifices to them. Worship God, the God who delivered you from Egypt in great and personal power. Reverence, fear him. Worship him. Sacrifice to him and only him. All the things he had written down for you, directing you in what to believe and how to behave, well, do them for as long as you live. And whatever you do, don't worship other gods. And the covenant he made with you, don't forget your part that, and I don't worship other gods. Worship God and God only. He's the one who will save you from enemy oppression. But they still didn't pay any attention. They kept doing what they had always done, and I read that part, 40 and 41.
Right.
But I just want to read, if you would oblige me, what I did for research also. What and who?
Okay, let me get
present.
Through this. Let me get through this.
You're talking about the remnant.
I have a few other scriptures, and let me get through this, and we'll definitely go through what you're doing, because this is very, I think this is great. Okay, so now let's go to 2 Kings 25, Hilda, verses 11 through 12, and then 22 to 26.
Okay, 25, 11.
11 and 12, and then 22 to 26. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nebuchadnezzar. No. Is that Nebuchadnezzar?
2511.
Yeah.
It's not Nebuchadnezzar.
Right. Is
Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, the captain of the guard then took as exiles the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had declared their allegiance to the king of Babylon and the rest of the population. But the captain of the guard allowed some of the poorest people to stay behind in Judah to care for the vineyards and fields. Amen.
That's
and
what I was thinking of.
Then you
no,
22,
I know that. Go to 22 and 26.
Wait a minute, Evangelist. So he's the one who was knocking down the wall.
Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, he was
Babylonian
the captain of the guard.
Were the ones who knocked down
right.
the wall.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And
all
then
right, 22?
26? 22?
22 to 26.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me
read
that.
Who,
me? Yeah. Yes. Ooh, Barbara. Regarding the common people who were left behind in Judah, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, as their governor. When veteran army officers among the people
now, hold
heard...
that point. Oh, hold the point. Let me just tell you who. Gedaliah. Nebuchadnezzar had point. Who had he mm-hmm. appointed over the people that was left? He was not of the line of David. Just keep that in mind. He was not of the line of David.
He's Babylonian.
Mm-hmm.
Common people left behind. Nebuchadnezzar.
No, he's not Babylonian. He's an Israelite.
He's a Jew. Okay.
He's a Jew, but he's not out of the line of David. Go ahead.
David. Mm-hmm. Okay. He appointed him as their governor. When veteran army officers among the people heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Among them were Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, son of Kareah, Sariah, son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, Jaznaiah, the son of Maacathite, and some of their followers. Gedaliah assumed the offices and their men, assured the officers and their men, giving them his word, "Don't be afraid of the Babylonian officials. Go back to your farms and families and respect the king of Babylon. Trust me, everything is going to be all right." Sometime later, it was in the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, he had royal blood in him, came back with 10 men
from the line of David
and killed Gedaliah, the traitor Jews, and the Babylonian officials who were stationed at Mizpah, a bloody massacre. But then, afraid of what the Babylonians would do, they all took off for Egypt, leaders and people, small and great. So they left. They bound.
Okay.
That was 26.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So here, we can go on to read the rest of it, but they all, because they were fearful now that they were going to all be killed, the well-to-do, and they all left and moved to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
I have some other scriptures, but Barbara, where is yours fitting somewhere in here?
I'm going to tell you what I got. I don't know if it's fitting anywhere in there or not.
Okay.
Ezra, the priest who oversaw the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, which fulfilled the prophecy that had been given hundreds of years earlier by Isaiah the prophet. Cyrus is my shepherd, who shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, "Thou shalt be built," and to the temple, "Thy foundation shall be laid." Following the rebuilding of the temple as recorded by Ezra, the nation was still in exile. The walls of the city remained broken and desolate. The gates of the city lay scorched with fire, and only a remnant of Jews who had escaped the captivity remained in the land. So this is not even saying that they went away and came back, but said they remained in the land. Indeed.
And this is what, and you're absolutely right.
Okay, let me say, indeed, these pathetic people were living under great affliction and were enduring much hardship about 444 B.C., Nehemiah 1 and 3. Someone want to get that? Evangelist, you want to get that?
What?
Nehemiah 1 and 3.
Oh.
And they said unto me, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province," or the province of the Persian Empire, "are in great affliction and reproach, shame. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire." You have it?
Oh. I'm looking.
Nehemiah 1 and 3.
So now remember by the time Nehemiah got there, we've already had people, the exiled people. Nehemiah was the last one to get there, right, of the exile.
Right.
So, some 40 or more years prior to Nehemiah coming, the first exile went back with Zerubbabel. And those were the people that... Right, and those were the people, and we're gonna see. You're where I am, so we're at the same place.
You say Nehemiah what?
1 and 3, please.
Okay.
Talking about the province of Persia, the Persian Empire.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah 1:3 says, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I just want to continue. The depth to which his nation had sunk due to their rebellious apostasy against the Lord and the spiritual bankruptcy that had ensued, he confessed his sin and the transgressions of the nation and pleaded with the Lord to forgive their sins and fulfill the promises he made, talking about Nehemiah doing this, to their forefather mm-hmm. Abraham and his seed forever. God took Nehemiah and used him in a wonderful way to be the man who was used mighty of God to oversee the rebuilding of the walls of the holy city of Jerusalem. The walls and the gates had been destroyed for over 140 years before. And I just want to talk about the length of the walls so we can picture the size of Jerusalem and Israel, really, because Israel is the main city. Jerusalem is just a part of it. The length of the walls is 4,018 meters, which amounts to 2.4966 miles, so that we can understand it. Their average height is 12 meters, or 39.37 feet. It's 39, almost 40 feet tall. And the average thickness is 2.5 meters, or about 8.2 feet. So that's kind of thick. 8 feet, you can imagine somebody 8 feet tall. That's kind of thick. There are 12 gates to the city of Jerusalem, and I went on to name the gates.
Okay.
All right. So we see that there was a remnant, and my whole point, too, was that they weren't good.
Right.
They were evil. They were evil
right,
people.
But the remnant, but this is where, let me go on, because this is where that word remnant at this point in Nehemiah is talking about the exiles, the people who came back there.
Came back from Babylon.
So let me
okay.
Who came back from Babylon
mm-hmm.
right. Because actually, my Bible says, the New York American Standard Bible says, as far as Nehemiah 1:3, it says, they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem has broken down. So let's go to, it's going to seem like I'm going around about, but.
You're all right. Do what you're doing.
Let's read Daniel 5:30, because I think we were talking, I was telling you about this before. So you have Daniel 5:30. Hilda, could you get Daniel 5:30?
Okay, 5:30 says.
That is so good.
30. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed. Amen. That's it.
Right. So Belshazzar was a son of Nebuchadnezzar, I found this really interesting. So Belshazzar is he's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a horrible death. He was like an animal in the thing. It's interesting to read how Nebuchadnezzar died. But
he was restored. He didn't stay like that. He was restored, wasn't he?
We'll read through it. But he was in the animals. Yeah. He was at. But he at the end he started to worship God. In his
right.
end,
right.
he worshiped God.
Right. So that's restoration, right?
Right. But also here it says, and I was looking, because it says King. It was King Darius, right? And we saw that this is King Darius is the king who took over the Persian king. He was a Mede. And he took over Babylon, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it was King Darius, same King Darius, that put Daniel into the lion's den.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we see that in Daniel 6. And I'm trying to make a point with this. In Daniel 6, 4 through 9. Hilda, can you read that? Daniel 6, 4 through 9.
Okay. Then the other administrators and high officials began searching for some fault in the day Daniel was handling government affairs, but they could not find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officials went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, and officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law, so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Amen.
Amen. Now, so after King Darius signs this law, you know that we know what the rest of the story is, right? Daniel goes into the lion's den. God protects him while he's in the lion's den. And after God protects him in the lion's den, that is when King Darius made a decree, right, that everybody was to respect the God of Daniel.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm building this up, because this actually builds up to the fact when we finally get Cyrus, right? Because King Cyrus then is the one who frees them, right? And allows them to go back to their exile. So it's
mm-hmm.
like the whole point of Daniel going into the lion's den had such a bigger impact on God just protecting him. But God made it so that the whole land, right, will
mm-hmm.
come to the point where they'll know who God is, you know,
mm-hmm.
where King Cyrus' heart would be soft to allow him to allow the Jews to go back to their land.
Right.
So I just saw this connection between the Daniel and the lion's den and everybody, you know, understanding how great our God is that protected him, you know, and even down to the king to realize that, oh, we ain't messing with you people. You people can go. You know, you people got a powerful God, so you people can go if you want to go, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I also read that King Darius was Esther. You remember Esther?
Yes.
See, that King Darius was Esther's son. Now, that is not anywhere in the Bible, but when I was doing this, you know, research, I saw that it said that King Darius was Esther's son. Now, here's where the controversy comes in, where it says in the Bible, it says that Darius the Mede, who is mentioned in the book of Daniel as king of Babylon between Belshazzar and Cyrus the Great, but he is not known to history. No additional king can be placed between the known figures of Belshazzar and Cyrus. Most scholars view him as a literary fiction, but some have tried to harmonize the book of Daniel with history by identifying him with various other figures. So this, they're saying historically there was never a King Darius. There was just Belshazzar and Cyrus. But the Bible tells us about a King Darius, right? King Cyrus becomes, when his reign begins, he begins with, doing his decree, which if you go to Ezra 1 and 2, so when we go to Ezra 1 and 2, we read about what Cyrus does, right? So Ezra,
so who was Darius' father?
King Xerxes. Xerxes. Who was Esther's husband? Right. Xerxes. I think it was King Xerxes.
Yeah, that was her husband.
Her husband, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You said Ezra 1 and 2?
Yes.
1 verse 2?
One through two.
Okay. All right. Cyrus, king of Persia, build the temple. That's the topic. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, this fulfilled the message of God preached by Jeremiah. God prodded Cyrus, king of Persia, to make an official announcement throughout his kingdom. He wrote it out as follows. From Cyrus, king of Persia, you said 1 through 2, I'm sorry. That's it. He wrote a proclamation out.
You read 2?
Yes, ma'am. I read 1
read two.
And I'll
okay.
get into 4.
Right. Okay. So after 1 and 2, so we see where Cyrus says, go, you know, I'm allowing you people to go back. And then now I understand Ezra chapter 4, which is the Israelites meet with the inhabitants now. Now, these are the first exiled Israelites who are leaving. It's something 40,000 of them who are now leaving. And it's Ezra chapter 4. The Israelites who are now leaving, they're going with the rubber bell, and they're going back to Israel. And so they're heading back to Judah. And so I'll start reading it. So they finally meet up. They meet up with the inhabitants. And who are these inhabitants that's there?
The Babylonians and other evil people.
Yeah, the people of the region, right? Foreign, the people of the region. So now when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the people of the exile were building a temple to the Lord God of Israel, they approached Zerubbabel and the heads of fathers, households, and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we, like you, seek your God. And we have been sacrificing to him since the days of Esarhaddon. Yeah, Esarhaddon, king of Assyria. So that's the king that placed them there, and who brought us here, right? You know, that's the king of Assyria brought them there. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of fathers, households of Israel said to them, You have nothing in common with us in building a house to our God, but we ourselves together build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." So they just insulted them, like, "Get out of here. You will have nothing to do with you."
Uh-huh.
And then the people of the land, they discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their counsel all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now,
for about 15 years, they frustrated them. I just wanted to add that.
A long time. So now in the reign of Assuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, Beshlem, Mesredeth, Tabeel, and the rest of his colleagues wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the text of the letter was written in Aramaic and translated from Aramaic.
So the Aramaic. Letter took,
Aramaic, right. So Hilda, go ahead with 8. Don't worry, Sister Barbara will tell you it. Go ahead.
Rehum,
the governor, and Shimshah, the court secretary.
Is that right?
wrote the letter telling King
Artaxerxes
about the situation in Jerusalem. They greeted the king for all their colleagues, the judge and local leaders, the people of Tapel, the Persians, the Babylonians, and the people of Erech and Susa, that is Elam. They also... They also sent greetings from the rest of the people whom the great and noble,
Ashurbanipal,
thank you, had deported and relocated in Samaria and throughout the neighboring lands of the Providence, west of the Euphrates River. This is a copy of their letter. All right, go ahead. I can't do this.
The king Artaxerxes, from your service, yes, ma'am, from the land across the Euphrates. We are here to inform the king that the Jews who came from you to us have arrived in Jerusalem and have set about rebuilding that rebellious and evil city. They are busy at work finishing the walls and rebuilding the foundation. The king needs to know that once that city is rebuilt and the wall completed, they will no longer pay a penny of tribute, tax, or duty. The royal treasury will feel the loss. We're loyal to the king and cannot sit idly by while our king is being insulted. That's why we are passing this information on. We suggest that you look into the court records of your ancestors. You'll learn from those books that the city is a rebellious city, a thorn in the side of kings and provinces, a historic center of unrest and revolt. That's why the city was wiped out. They're letting the king know that if that city gets rebuilt and its walls restored, you'll end up with nothing in your province beyond Euphrates. The king, are you reading the whole thing?
Good. Well, the rest of it is that the king replies and the work stops.
Woman,
so then the king says an answer to Rehum, the commander of Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their colleagues who lived in Samaria and in the rest of the provinces beyond the river. Peace, and now. The document which you sent to us has been translated and read before me. A decree has been issued to me, and a search has been made, and it has been discovered that the city has risen up against the kings in past days, that rebellion and revolt have been perpetrated in it, that mighty kings have ruled over Jerusalem, governing all provinces. Provinces before beyond the river, at tribute, custom, and tolls were paid to them. So now issue a decree to make these men stop work, and this city may not be rebuilt until a decree is issued by me. Beware of being negligent in carrying out this matter. Why should damage increase to the detriment of the king? Then, as soon as a copy of King Artaxerxes' document was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe and their colleagues, they went in haste to Jerusalem to the Jews and stopped them by force arms. Then the work of the house of God in Jerusalem ceased, and it was stopped until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So this becomes this is the Darius, you know, because, you know, he followed his father, Artaxerxes, right? And Artaxerxes was, I mean, if we put the story together, you know, Artaxerxes was married to Esther. So then now she has this wonderful son, King Darius, decides to allow them to rebuild again, and that's when we have the second, you know, group that went, the second group that went back, right, was with Ezra. Ezra is who encouraged them to go back, to now they were able to rebuild again, and then we have Nehemiah with the third group. Anyway, that's it.
Fascinating.
Okay.
I just wanted to add that Ezra, because of Darius, they were allowed to build the temple, but nobody built the gate. Nobody put the protection around the temple.
That wasn't until Nehemiah. Nehemiah built the
wall. I know, that's what I'm saying. And that was like for 140 years. That was left unprotected.
Unprotected. Exactly.
Well, I don't know about 140
exactly.
years, but I read that somewhere. Where was that? Anyway, you know, you have
right.
to.
Right. It was a long
protected.
Time. It was a long time, that's for sure.
Yeah, that walls have been destroyed for over 140 years before they were rebuilt.
Right. And then he built it in, what, 32 days? Something like that?
52 days,
he
Nehemiah.
Was able to get it built. Mm-hmm.
Right. Him
Ooh,
and
boy.
The people who had a mind to work.
Yes.
And we see that they had to have a brick in one hand and a sword in the other. That's some kind
other.
Of way.
Yeah.
That's some kind of way,
mm-hmm.
you know? But they were determined.
Determined.
Determined. Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay. Oh, yay.
Yay.
All right. All right. So.
We lost mother.
So that's it. We'll get back to Joy.
I didn't even know she was on.
Yeah, she was on.
She was here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You know what I'm saying? I never heard her.
She didn't say anything. I did announce her, but I guess she was just listening.
So what's the conclusion about the remnant?
So I'm going to tell you, there were some that were left. There were some
that
were left, but, mm-hmm. the majority of the people that was in Israel were the foreigners from the other nations. They were the majority.
But many of them were Jews also, a small remnant of them were Jews.
And they intermarried so much that they mm-hmm. just... You know, they had intermarried with the foreigners that they just
right.
sort of like disappeared. Like they
and those,
just like disappeared.
No, don't wait. Those are the ones who became the Samaritans because they
right.
were Jews
right.
who intermarried with the foreigners.
Right, right. And all of those people, all of them, because they all, that whole region with all the people who lived in Samaria, the people who came to Samaria were the people from all the other nations, all the other foreigners. So remember, they all started worshiping God after the lions attacked them. So they all started worshiping God and their idols. They mixed the religion up,
right?
And they became, you know, they were all known as Samaritans in that area because they had mixed the religion up, you know. Mm. They were still
unaccepted by God because they weren't true in their worship.
Right.
He didn't like that.
Right.
You're still
exactly.
worshiping idols and you're worshiping me. That's not acceptable to me. I'm a jealous
exactly.
God. I know that.
Yep. Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, guys. Let me get some
beautiful
prayer. Sister Barbara, you want to pray us out? Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come to you with joy in our hearts. God, we're so glad for this lesson this evening. We're glad for you opening our understanding. And even though, speaking for myself, I still don't understand it totally, I do understand it better than I did before. So thank you for opening my understanding, for our understanding, prayerfully for the listeners. Understanding. Bless Lady Nadine as she goes about bringing us this message and this insight as we walk through the Bible. Bless Evangelist Hilda as she just does the wonderful and beautiful things that she does. She encourages us. She talks about you, Father God. Just encourage her understanding as we go about learning more about you and your. I ask that you forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and just thank you for your very being, for your love, your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness, Father God. We are blessed because we are in your life. We are in your life, and we love you for that. Blessings I ask in the marvelous name of your Son, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Hilda, did you send your picture in?
I'm waiting for my sister to send me the picture. The only picture, I, like I said, I have of my mom is, you know, the wedding picture, which is like now, you know, you can't hardly see. And they,
you can't take a picture of the wedding picture? It's not clear enough to take a picture? Tomorrow's the 5th.
I will take a picture of it, and then I'll send it to Jake.
Is your sister sending it to you by the phone?
Yeah, she's going to send it to me by phone.
Oh, okay. So you can just,
Then I could just text it to Jake.
He wants you to email it to him.
I know how to email.
But anyway, I was thinking that we'll have the pictures of our mothers and her name and our name, but we should have a picture of ourselves too.
The only picture I have is that one you see sitting on that table there. I don't take pictures. She didn't take pictures.
We're going to have the mother's name, but we don't see the child.
We don't care about the child.
The name is there.
Not the mother.
As long as you have
the
name there.
Yeah, but sometimes the names are different.
No, you're going to put, he's putting the mother's name and the child's name. That's what I told him to do.
Yes, I understand. I'm saying it would have been nice to have a picture of the child. Just a thought.
Well, you can send a picture. I can send a picture. I don't want to out.
That's one thing. I have never been photogenic, so I don't do pictures. The only picture you see of me there is that one sitting on that desk there with, and that was a graduation picture.
Elsa, I have some nice pictures of you. So don't even try it.
I didn't take them and give them to
pictures.
You must have took them when I wasn't looking.
No, you were smiling in the picture.
Huh?
You smiling in the picture, looking at the camera.
Me?
I'm
going to
send it to you. I'm going to send
it
to you.
You sure it's
so
me?
So we'll save that for another time. Y'all don't want to include yourself.
All right, then.
Another time. Not a problem.
Okay, guys. I'm going to send it to you right now, Hilda. I'll see you guys. Bye.
Okay. Love you all.
Love you.
Stay safe.
Good night.
Mañana.
Yes.
Don't forget to remind
Pastor. Mañana, yes.
Don't bother to remind him, since Barbara's going to do the lesson.
What time are we having? Thank you for that.
What time? Seven. What?
Rehearsal tomorrow.
5 o'clock. It's always at 5 because what's the name? Don't finish work till 5.
Okay, because that's the last time we get to go over the program. You know that, right?
Mhm. Oh.
So will Jake have what we need, or do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Nadine left?
No, she's still there.
Hello, Nadine?
Well, maybe she left the computer and went to the other room, but...
Okay, so 5 o'clock tomorrow, and I just wanted to know if it's going to be a full rehearsal. We would need to see the pictures as well, you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's possible.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So you ready with the sermon? We gonna hear your sermon tomorrow too?
Yeah. I got it all right here. Praise be to God.
All right. Love you, ladies. Love you, listening audience. Shalom. Stay safe.
You
5
too.
5 o'clock. Okay.
5 o'clock.
Thank you. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom. And on that note, I am going to play us out tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. All belongs to you. Praise God.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.